The following program is rated PG. Please be advised that what you are about to hear may contain mature themes, such as sexually suggestive situations, mild uses of bad language, and some instances of violence. Parental guidance is suggested.
This is a presentation from Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Previously on Doctor Who.
What is it?
Unless I'm very much mistaken, it's a battlecruiser. A very large battlecruiser. And I don't think they're coming to wish us a happy new year.
Oh, not again.
It's approaching fast.
Come along, you two.
It's firing! Some sort of photonic torpedo, I'd say.
Too late, grab hold of something.
Doctor?
Hold on.
You are now prisoners of the Bran Empire.
Ah. We mean you no harm.
Silence, Tolanite scum.
Look, we're not the Tolanites, whoever they may be. We're actually here by accident.
Someone is determined to destroy us.
Not just anyone. That's got to be my captain.
Your captain doesn't seem to like you very much.
Of course she likes me. What are you talking about?
Well, for someone who likes you, she's making a grand attempt at killing you.
We're meeting heavy resistance. The captain has ordered us to free as many prisoners as we can and then to evacuate back to the ship, ASAP. You there, come on. Can't you see you're being rescued?
I know you, don't I?
What? Oh, it's you. How the Kesma did you two get here?
Doctor, it's one of the mercenaries from Mandor.
Yes, I know, Amara. Are we pleased to see you?
Nars will soon make contact with Captain Aminiar Dalto. The Bran government's arms supplier.
Arms supplier?
If you don't know, there's a war going on in this sector between the Bran and the Tolanites. Dalto's a mercenary from Crystal, an arms dealer. He's been stirring up trouble all over several regions of this part of the galaxy for years. It's how he makes his living.
Look, do you mean to tell me that this man supplies arms to two opposing sides in a war that he has incited just to make money?
Welcome to the Rima's end of the universe. Dalto is the reason we've come to this sector. I have a few old scores to settle with him. You've entered the playing field. I'm afraid you're all involved now. Just be thankful you happen to be on the winning side.
And if I weren't?
I don't think you really need to ask that question, Doctor. Do you?
Doctor Who, The Snare, Part 2, written by Jonathan Patrick Russell.
Incoming transmission, Captain. Priority red.
I've been expecting it, Lieutenant Hanna. Patch it through.
Yes, Captain.
A pleasure as always, Captain Dalto.
You may dispense with the usual pleasantries, Narsa. I have received some very uninspiring reports about your ship's most recent activities.
A mere hiccup in our plans, Captain.
Hiccup? Captain Narsa? I heard the Saber Claw was nearly destroyed by a mercenary ship. Not just any mercenary ship. Captain Cho'Jalea's ship, no less.
It never ceases to amaze me how well informed you are, my dear Captain Dalto.
I am well informed, Narsa.
And I know you're still in possession of one of Jalea's men.
This is correct. We were bringing him in for questioning, and then we were going to turn him over to you. I knew you'd consider this man a gift.
It is a gift I will gladly accept. Prepare to rendezvous with my ship within the hour. Dalto, out.
One of these days, Hanner, I'm going to find out who aboard my ship is being paid to spy for that man. And when I do, that individual will find their innards turned outward.
What do you suppose is going to happen to us, Braxa?
We'll probably be sent to the spice mines of Krace. It's not a very hospitable planet. It is said that the surface is so warm that even down in the mines it's 110 in the shade. Yeah, you're right. It's not funny.
Nothing that's happened to me lately has been what you would call funny. In fact, since I met Amara and the Doctor, my luck has really taken a turn for the worst.
Hang on a minute. Did you say Amara and the Doctor?
Yes, that's right. Why? Are you trying to tell me that you know them?
Well, I suppose... No, it couldn't be a coincidence, could it?
What is it, Braxa?
Well, it's just that I recently ran into an odd fellow who called himself the Doctor. And there was this young girl with fair hair named Amara. She was some lab assistant or something.
Did this man have long graying hair, a short beard, and wear a long gray coat?
Yeah, that's him. My brother and I met him on Z-11, an asteroid mining station in the Mandor system. Let me see. That couldn't have been more than a few weeks back now. He found the cure for Yonex disease, which we were sent there to retrieve for the Outer Governments. They paid a pretty bundle for that, I can tell you. Too bad we were robbed of all our loot by a bunch of space pirates. There's irony, isn't it?
Well, if I've learned anything about the Doctor in the short time I've known him, it's that he usually has a rescue plan in the works. So with any luck, we'll be out of here soon.
I hope you're right, Gray. But forgive me if my optimism is a little scarce at the moment.
On your feet, you two.
Where are you taking us?
You're getting off this ship. Come on. I would have thought that's what you wanted.
That depends on where you're sending us.
Ever heard the expression, out of the frying pan and into the fire?
No, I don't like the sound of it.
Well, you're going to like the experience even less.
Captain Jalea, may I have a word, please?
What can I do for you, Doctor? I trust your companion is now resting comfortably in your quarters?
Well, it took me some time to get her calmed down, but yes, she's sleeping peacefully enough now.
Good. So what else do you need?
Two things, actually.
And they are?
First, when can we go back to where you picked us up?
Never. Look, I told you, your friend will soon be in the hands of Captain Arminiar Dalto. And now that your impressionable young companion is not within earshot, I can be honest enough with you to say that in all likelihood you'll never see your other friend again. I suggest you accept that and get on with your life. It does go on, you know.
Well, I appreciate the honesty at least, but it wasn't for my friend Gray that I was inquiring.
Then what other reason could you have?
Something of great value to me was left behind on that Tolanite ship, and it's vitally important that I get it back.
Well then, you're in luck.
What do you mean?
At this moment, we just happen to be towing the Relentless. We shall return it to the Tolanite Consortium at the first opportunity. For a nice little reward, of course.
Do you never do anything unless there's money involved?
What would be the point?
Never mind. Look, Captain, it's of vital importance that I get back on board that ship immediately.
No. I don't think so, Doctor.
Why ever not?
Because you want me to.
Oh, of all the petty-minded excuses!
Despite the fact that you helped me quite recently in the Mandor system, I still find myself reluctant to trust you, Doctor.
Well, the feeling's certainly mutual now. Look, my going back on that ship and retrieving my property could not be a possible threat to you.
That's irrelevant.
Irrelevant?
Braxa is exactly where I want him to be.
You what? Well, that doesn't make any sense at all, unless...
Yes, Doctor?
Unless you're using him as a Judas goat. He's baiting a trap, isn't he?
You're even more clever than I gave you credit for. Very good deductive reasoning. You'd have made a wonderful Space Corps investigator. You may even have ensnared me. at least temporarily.
You know, I think you were right when you once talked about us being on opposite sides one day. It still may happen.
I wouldn't wish for that if I were you. It's not a healthy way of thinking. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have things to do.
Welcome aboard, Captain Daldo. Perhaps you'll consent to join me for a drink.
I have no time for such things. Bring me your prisoner.
He is already on his way. And we have a bonus for you.
A bonus? Oh, you mean the female prisoner.
Is there nothing that happens on my ship you don't know about, Captain Daldo?
There is precious little that happens in this cosmos that I do not know about.
You make me feel obsolete, Captain.
And so you are, Captain Narsa. Kill him, Lieutenant Harnor.
Harnor? You traitor, Harnor! Why, I'll... Harnor!
It's about time the old gas bag was killed. Now, tell me, Captain Harnor, where exactly did you find this precious gem?
Well, we picked her up during our attack on the Tolanite cruiser. She not only matched the description of the one you said you were looking for, but she showed spunk. I knew she had to be the one.
You were expecting us?
I would think that self-evident, my dear. Was she alone, or traveling with anyone?
She was with two others, a man and another girl.
Describe them to me.
Well, the man was slender, long hair, short beard, long, light coat. The other girl was shorter, fair complexion, with shoulder length, fair hair. Are they also important, sir?
They are dangerous.
Had I known they were important to you as well, I'd have kept them in the hold with these two.
It's of no matter. The man will come to me in due course.
Eh?
Do not ask too many questions, Harnor. It could be detrimental to your health. Bring both the man and the girl.
Hold it, Dalto. The girl comes with me.
Well, well, well. Mr. Stryker, you really do get around.
You'll find I'm full of surprises. Now do as I say, and you can keep your miserable life. Let the woman go.
Very well. We shall play this game your way.
No more games, Dalto. This time it's check. To me.
You think so, Mr. Stryker? Well, do as the man says. Let the woman go.
Julian!
Oh no, Mr. Stryker. I'll take that weapon. You've played beautifully right into my hand, my young friend.
What?
Oh, you don't think this truly was a coincidence, do you? That you would show up just as Miss Asterus just happened to fall into my lap. I play the game very well, don't you see? I believe you were mistaken. This game is mine, Mr. Stryker. Check and...
I think you'll find that you are very much mistaken, Dalto.
Oh, don't bother trying to dematerialize, Mr. Stryker.
I don't understand. How's this possible?
Before you arrived, I gave orders to my men to be expecting you. And the moment you materialized on board, a dampening net was put up. Not even a Gallifreyan TARDIS could dematerialize within this zone. You see, I take no chances. Take these three away. Thank you for your assistance, Captain Harnor. I will watch your exploits aboard the Saberclaw with great interest.
Thank you, Captain Danto.
Now we must depart with our bounty.
It's all right, Doctor. No need to try and sneak in. I'm wide awake.
Ah, I see. Sorry, my dear.
For what?
Well, for everything. For getting you and Gray into this mess.
You're being too hard on yourself, Doctor.
Am I? I've landed you in mortal danger. More than once. I've taken you away from all you knew. Not to mention getting Gray into terrible trouble. Now she's lost and alone. And it's all my fault. I had no right bringing either of you along on this dangerous ride.
It's honestly not your fault, Doctor.
What do you mean it's not my fault? Of course it is.
No, Doctor. Stop it. It's my fault. I lied to you.
Lied to me? About what?
About who and what I am.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Of course I know who you are.
No, you don't, Doctor. Not really.
Huh?
You don't really know me at all.
Are you telling me that you aren't a Tall of the Royal House of Trio?
Yes, of course I am. Well, a part of me is.
Get in there.
I'm getting rather tired of being pushed around.
Get used to it. It's a way of life out here.
Out here?
Yeah. You must have had a pretty sheltered life. Probably haven't seen much action at all, have you? Where are you from, anyway?
Gallifrey, if you must know.
I see. It's a lot clearer now.
What do you know of Gallifrey?
I know about you people. You sit out there in the center of the galaxy, just watching all the rest of us. You're wannabes. You're observers. Well, the rest of us are the doers in the galaxy. What do you know about life out here, huh?
I'm learning.
Learning?
Yes, I am. I may be fairly fresh out of the academy, but I'm, at this very moment, getting field experience.
Field experience? Don't make me laugh.
Oh, shut up, will you? I wonder what they're doing to Julian. What do they want with him?
If he's lucky, just to kill him.
And if he's unlucky?
You really don't want to know.
It seems we are now alone, Mr. Stryker. Now, you will answer my questions. Do you understand?
Why should I do that?
Oh, so you're going to be difficult, eh? That is good. I like the difficult ones.
Oh, just get on with this, Delta.
Who sent you here? Oh, very well, then. If it's the hard way that you want, you shall be accommodated.
I'm afraid you've confused me, my dear. Perhaps you'd better explain precisely what you've been holding back. Now, why not start at the beginning, okay?
I'm not what you think I am, Doctor. I've kept things from you. From the start. On my planet, racial purity is of great social concern.
Yes, I know. I studied Trian history before I left Gallifrey many years ago. Tria and Gallifrey's ancient treaty has always fascinated me, especially considering Tria's policy of non-alien visitations.
There's a reason aliens aren't permitted on Trian soil, Doctor. Because it's a bigoted planet full of short-sighted, small-minded fools. On Tria, the bloodlines are kept pure. It's our most sacred rule, as set down by the goddess Mancala.
Yes, I remember the ancient Trian litany. I've always been fascinated by ancient beliefs and customs, It must be the archaeologist in me, but I don't see what all this has to do with you.
Because I'm not a Treon pureblood.
So, do you think we have a chance of getting out of this mess?
Well, it's about time you were concerned about someone besides everyone else. I was wondering if you had a selfish bone in your body.
Self-preservation is hardly what I'd call selfish. Besides, I included you in that query, remember? I wonder what's going to happen to us.
We're probably going to die in the spice mines of Corandos.
Well, you're a real joy to be around, Braxa. Do you know that?
Sure. I'm the life of the party.
So what makes you so pessimistic anyway?
Well, our surroundings, for one thing. Besides that, I haven't exactly led a charmed life. Or haven't you taken a good look at me since we were thrown together?
Oh, admittedly you're a bit rough around the edges. But I think you're not as tough as you want me to think you are.
Hang around me long enough, little girl, and you'll see just how tough I can get.
It's not working on me, you know.
What are you talking about?
I can see the worry in your eyes. Tell me, Braxa, who are you worried for? Yourself? Or is there someone you care about out there somewhere?
As I said before, Mr. Stryker, who sent you here? I do not like to repeat myself, and this is going to be the first and last time. Do you understand?
Oh, I understand, all right. But if you expect me to cooperate, forget it.
I see that you are still being difficult. Excellent. In that case, breaking you is going to be all the more pleasant.
Look, I'm afraid I still don't understand, Amara.
I'm a half-breed. Not a full Treon.
But then, what are you, my dear?
I'm sorry I deceived you, Doctor.
Just tell me what things you've kept hidden.
I'm not sure you'll understand.
Amara, I'm a fairly reasonable person, you know that. I'm sure you would never do anything to put myself, Gray, or the TARDIS at risk. Amara, you haven't put us at risk, have you?
I'm...
Amara, I think you'd better start talking. Come on, Amara, you could tell me. Tell me what you've done.
It's not just what I've done, but what I am.
Well, what are you then?
I'm half Gallifreyan.
You have been listening to Doctor Who, The Snare, Part 2, written by Jonathan Patrick Russell, which starred, in order of appearance, Jonathan Patrick Russell as Lieutenant Harnor, Teg Gray as Captain Narza, Jonathan Patrick Russell as Captain Dalto, Sarah Gerard as Gray, Kyle Hebert as Braxa, Ron Smith as the Doctor, Sally Wiggett as Captain Jalea, James Leeper as Julian Stryker, Rachel Rumler as Amara, and Jonathan Patrick Russell as Guard Number 1. The Doctor Who theme tune was composed and performed by Duncan McPherson. Based on the original Doctor Who theme, as composed by Ron Grainer and the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The incidental music was provided by FirstCom, Kevin MacLeod, and Stock. The post-production editors were Jeff Niles and Jonathan Patrick Russell. The co-producer was Ron Smith. The sound designer, script editor, producer, and director was Jonathan Patrick Russell. Special thanks must be given to Kyle Boers. Please note that this audio range is not intending to supersede or infringe any other existing copyright in relation to Doctor Who or its concepts and sounds, which remain property of the British Broadcasting Corporation. This series features the character of Gray, who was created by Kyle Boers, who retains all rights to that character. Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit us on the web at dreamrealmsite.com. And if you'd like to email us with any of your comments or questions, you may do so at darkbuilding1@yahoo.com. Join us next time for Part 3 of The Snare, coming your way soon from Dream Realm Enterprises. The story, The Snare, as written by Jonathan Patrick Russell, is copyright Dream Realm Enterprises 2014, all rights reserved. Remember, Dream Realm Enterprises is a not-for-profit organization. What we do for you, our fans. So help us to keep the audio goodness coming, won't you? Visit our website at dreamrealmsite.com and find our donation page, and be sure to hit that donate button. It's through PayPal, so it's as easy as hitting a robot on the head. Thanks, fans, for your support.